Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
All right, you ready? From Brooklyn to the world, Peter Cobbs, Pauly the Magic Man, Malignaggi is calling in once again. And Seth Nyman.
Hello.
Neiman.
You know the type of people
understand.
Is calling in.
I don't understand, though. What am I? What, just because I called in, I don't get to introduce the show?
Yeah,
like,
no.
I don't understand. Like, how does this work? Like, if I call in, does that make me like a second-rate citizen?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was under the impression that I kicked off the show.
Well,
no,
you're actually, you're like a guest today.
I'm like a guest.
Yeah,
I got demoted to guest status.
Yeah,
in your own house.
I'm like guest services today.
You're a guest on your own podcast. How you like them apples? Do you like apples?
Yeah, because you could. Obviously, I got your number because I had to call in. Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
What's going on over there?
Nothing.
Well, let's give a brief breakdown. This is not going to be a regular thing. But as training camp gets closer, the fight gets closer, training camp gets more intense. So your schedule gets more intense. So it was easier for us this week just to, you know, have you call in. Seth and I can man down the fort in the studio. We're playing footsies under the table. And, you know.
Yeah, because the last thing I really wanted to do today was either sit in rush hour traffic heading to Manhattan for the podcast.
Right.
Or sit next to the fat guy on the train.
Take the train!
Yeah. Exactly. I would smell like he hasn't showered since last week.
Right.
You know, you can get up and move and walk away.
I don't want to do either.
You can walk away, Pauly. You can walk away.
Yeah, you can. But you know what? The new rules when they tried inside these trains from when I was younger. You know, when you were younger, you could switch train cars. Like, while the train was moving, you could go into the next train. And, like, you know, if in case it smelled or somebody smelled bad or anything, you could just switch train cars. Now you can't even do that. While it's moving, it's, like, illegal to switch train cars.
Are you serious?
While the train is moving. Yeah. You know, remember when you fly between cars?
That was the only thing I liked about the fucking train.
It was the only thing you liked. Well, guess what, buddy? That's been long gone.
Well,
they've since eliminated those rules.
There you go. That's
they've
why
since
I don't take
added that rule, actually. Not eliminated, because that wasn't a rule until recently. Now you can't walk between trains.
Wow.
Switch train cars. So I remember, like, if the train car smelled or somebody smelled on the train car, you know, the train was still moving and you just switched train cars. Now you can't do that. Now you got to wait for the next stop and then hopefully you get off the train and jump back on the train in the next car before the train closes.
So basically, Carlito Brigante would be dead because he went through all those.
Yeah, he was running from one train to the other, but I still think you could do that on the Amtrak still. Because I think, wasn't he going on like an Amtrak at that time?
No,
that was at the end. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Carlito would be dead nowadays, yeah. They would have locked him in the same train car, that's it.
When Tony T's son was chasing him, they would have got him easy.
Yeah. It's much less exciting nowadays.
Damn.
Yeah. So, and if you end up on the train with the guy who smells or hasn't showered or anything, that's it. You're stuck in that car until the next stop, at least, in the very least. You can't switch cars.
They're big cars, though. You know, you can go one side of the car.
They are big cars, but nonetheless, if somebody smells that bad, the whole thing is smelling off. I mean,
you just got to carry an Axe body spray and just start spraying everybody.
Spray's face. Yeah.
Hey, buddy, sit still.
Or any body spray, for that matter. Why does it got to be Axe? Because you see the commercial all the time?
Yeah, it smells good. Just, hey, buddy, stay still for a second.
Well, what about the Italian one? What was that Italian one? What was that called? The Italian? Malizia. Malizia. Come on. Why can't it be Malizia?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be Axe?
Hey,
Malizia was good.
Fuck it. Whatever pushes your hair back.
Speaking of Axe and Malizia, they better give us some sponsorship money now that we're mentioning their names on our podcast. Our podcast is blowing up. Thanks to all the listeners out there.
Blowing up like Nitro.
We're blowing up like Nitro, but, you know, if we gotta stop mentioning these companies, we're giving them free publicity with all these listeners that are listening to us now. What do we do? We used to think we only had 14 listeners, but apparently we're moving up in the world. We're moving on up like the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Moving on up. Top of the food chain.
Doing our thing. We're really grateful to everybody that likes it. You know, we're getting a lot of positive feedback. To the guys that don't like it, you don't have to listen. It's a free country. it's a free world, actually. You know, I mean, you don't have to listen to that if you don't like us. But if you keep listening to us and not liking us, you're going to keep not liking us, because we're not going to change. Not for ourselves, and not definitely not for you.
And you know you like it. You're just a hater.
You know what it is? Even if you dislike us, you just can't get enough of us, because you don't know what we're going to say next. You know what we're going to talk about next. Our opinions are so volatile. Is that a word? Volatile. You know, that we're all over the place. You know, and you just can't get enough of us while we sit there driving this podcast, jamming it down their throats. Boom.
Hey. Pause. Well, listen, speaking of jamming things down throats, Saturday was 4th of July. We went to see Joey Chestnuts.
Yeah. He lost. Do I got to feel a little bit guilty that I feel like I jinxed him? Because I predicted
you're a mush, bro.
You know, I saw last year's hot dog eating contest. I don't watch every year, but I saw last year's, and that guy was unstoppable. Like, that guy ate so many hot dogs that I was physically ill from watching him, let alone how he must have felt.
For years, he's been on top.
Haven't seen that with my own eyes. I thought there's no way anybody could beat this guy. This guy's like a machine. This guy must have some kind of ringworm in his stomach that just eats the hot dogs, digests the hot dogs while he's eating them, because it's just too much going on. There's no way anybody could beat this guy, right? I mean,
and along came fucking Stoney.
And then finally I jinxed him. The guy Joe Stone comes out of nowhere and beats this guy. Can you imagine?
And Pete had $100 on Chestnut,
Matt Stoneman,
too.
Yeah, I know. Matt Stoneman, right? Matt Stoneman.
Stoney.
Whatever. That, you know, he's like the guy from Boston. You know, Stoney. Stoney comes in and wins the tournament. Unbelievable. He wins the contest. Can you imagine? What about when I was a kid? Did you have this? Did you guys have this when I was a kid? Seth and Pete, you know, did you guys think this when you were kids? Like, you always think, like, the fat guys are going to win these kind of contests, and
they never do.
Like, as a kid, you always see, like, the big fat guy. I think they get put there for show, because they never win.
They're pie-eating and all that.
They're just there as a prop. Even up until today, like, you still see some of these fat guys in those contests. I'm telling you, bro, they get put there as a prop. They never have a chance. They never win. And, like, now I understand why, as I'm an adult. As a kid, you see the big fat guy who's there as a prop, and you think, like, man, yo, this guy's going to win. This guy's huge.
See, you...
He can eat all these hot dogs.
You think of it that way...
He just can't eat them that fast. That's the problem.
You think of it that way as a competitor. I think of it like, you know, like when you see the women, you know, the women are just as freaking crazy as the men. Like, what if they wanted to, like, go down on you or something? They're just shoving down hot dogs like it's nothing. Your little pecker would be like...
You're thinking of, like, some Triple X shit right there.
But that's what I'm saying. Imagine...
Yeah, I'm talking about my mind as a kid, and you're taking it too far.
No, but imagine the champ...
My mind, the way I used to think of these hot dog contests when I was, like, 8, 9 years old, when I wasn't thinking of this illicit sexual shit. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, I would watch these hot dog eating contests and watch the fat guys and think... How is it possible that the skinny guys keep beating them? You know what I mean? Now I understand why. I understand why.
They're athletes.
You have to be an athlete nonetheless. As much as it doesn't seem like you have to be an athlete to win these contests, you have to be in shape to win the hot dog eating contest. And I'll tell you why. If you're out of shape, you're going to need to take big, big, big mouthfuls of breath. A lot of big, big oxygen breaths. And in those oxygen breaths where you got to catch your breath, you're not chewing. You're not eating. The skinny guys that are in shape, they're not taking breaths. They're just eating. The fat guys, they need to take breaks and catch their breaths. And whenever you take a break to catch your breath, that's like 5, 6 hot dogs. It's crazy. Bro, if you take like a 10-second break to catch your breath, the guy next to you, the Joey Chestnut or Stoneman or whatever, the guys that are making a killing, bro, they can eat like 6, 7 hot dogs in those 10 seconds. It's crazy. Probably more. It's bananas. It's out of this world. So a fat guy can never, ever win. He can never win. You got to be in shape to win those contests.
Joey lost by 2 hot dogs.
It's what I've learned since becoming a full-blown adult and watching these contests as an adult.
You know, hey, when did that happen, Paulie? When did you become a full-blown adult?
Last week.
I don't know. At some point, I became a full-blown adult. I don't know the age. You know, usually it's 18. Like, they say 18, you're like a full-blown adult. I don't know when it happened for me. I wouldn't really consider it 18, you know?
Well, I'm a Jew. They told me when I was 13, I became a man, and I was 4'11", and I weighed 80 pounds.
That was at your bat mitzvah?
Yeah.
Bar mitzvah.
Yeah, I was like 4'10" myself, Seth. No joke. Well, we were like the same height at that age.
Yep.
But Seth had his bat mitzvah. That's when you become a man in the Jewish world.
Yes.
Yeah, well, don't you think you really have a lot to learn over about life at 13 years old, though? I don't think you become a man at 13.
I had to grow a little bit, too.
Sure did.
I learned how to guzzle 40 ounces at 13.
Well, we know about your dad.
That prepared you. That prepared you. Would you say that prepared you for life, Pete?
Absolutely, because now I can take him down, kid.
Yeah, Pete's like, too much information.
Hold it down.
His dad's like, Dad, I'm 8. He says, how come you're still a virgin?
Apparently, you were taking down 40 ounces at 13 years old, and you're watching hot dog contests and watching the women thinking about how they could eat a lot more than just hot dogs.
Yeah, apparently. No, but imagine, think about that. Think
of your mind was in a lot more adult places at 13 years old than a lot of other kids.
But think about
today's kids. Today's kids are here at 13 years old are doing some crazy shit.
But think about the women's.
We were crazy.
Think about the women's champ. She scoffs down like 40 hot dogs, and then she like she looks at you like, "Hey, what do you got over there?" You're like, "No, nothing for you, honey."
Well, you don't think that after eating 40 hot dogs, she doesn't want to ever see another hot dog for a little while. I mean, you don't think after you eat 40 hot dogs in what 10 minutes? What's the time limit over there? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
It's
I don't
like
even know.
10 minutes, yeah.
You don't think after eating 40 hot dogs in 10 minutes, you don't want to even lay your eyes on a hot dog for a while?
She looks at you and she says, that's not a hot dog, that's a little pig in the blanket that they serve on the Super Bowl. Hey, let me ask you this, though, in all seriousness. Do you think you could train like a kielbasa queen to be like a good hot dog eater?
I don't know. What's a kielbasa queen?
She jams
switch sports altogether. Now you're taking it too far. Like I'm talking about the hot dog eating contest. Now you're bringing it to a kielbasa queen. I've never even seen a kielbasa contest. What's a kielbasa queen?
Oh, kielbasa queen.
You got it from Howard Stern.
Yeah, she like takes 16-inch kielbasas and deep throats the whole thing.
That's a contest?
No, but I'm just saying that it's like a record. She could deep throat, like she gets her...
Like the movie.
Correct.
I saw the Howard Stern movie.
Yes.
Yeah. That one?
Yeah,
does
so
that record
if
still
she,
stand for that goal, or did somebody break it?
No, I think she's the best.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest. If anybody can break that record, they got some talent. I don't know if that's possible. The actress that did that, that pulled that off, has to be the real girl. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Oh, speaking of Howard Stern and kielbasa queen, I got a call today. Beetlejuice called you. Yeah.
Where
you
going?
Well, he was.
Beetlejuice hasn't called in a while.
We haven't spoken.
He's been in my head. He's been tweeting us.
I know.
What's going on with Beetlejuice?
No, he was checking up on you. He wanted to see how you were doing. He wants to come to the fight, but he wants.
Beetlejuice is the official Team Milanagi mascot. Are we kidding
yes,
each other?
Yes, of course. But
the problem I have with Beetlejuice is, where was he the last time we actually really wanted him? Like, Beat's always part of Team Malignaggi. I mean, he's been part of Team Malignaggi since my first world title run. So Beat's always invited if he's in town. The thing about Beat is, we wanted to use him as a prop for the Adrian Broder press conference. And we actually tell the world now. See, the world didn't know about this plan that we had because Beat had canceled it on us.
Yeah.
If anyone that doesn't know, the second Adrian Broder press conference, the Fight Week press conference, we were going to dress up Beetlejuice as Adrian Broner and bring him to the press conference. We were going to dress him up, put a bunch of gold chains on him, put the old light on him. And like I said, I mean, there's no beef with me and Adrian now. We're cool. But at the time, we thought this was a genius idea. We were going to dress up Beetlejuice as Adrian, bring him to the press conference, and have him talk.
And we were going to comb his hair.
Talk is comedy in and of itself.
Yeah.
And we were going to have the Adrian Broner prop at the final press conference.
And we were going to comb his hair.
The final press conference had its own fireworks. Like, he would have had the stalker with him at the press conference, and I would have had Beetlejuice. It would have been wild. It would have been a wild scene.
It would have been genius.
It still turned out to be wild. But Beat, unfortunately, was in Georgia at the time.
Yeah.
Could not make himself available for us. So we did without the Beetlejuice prop at the final press conference. Now the world knows what I actually had in mind. I had a much more creative press conference in mind for that final press conference,
right,
than actually it was, even though I think it still became entertaining nonetheless.
Well, he says that you know, he wanted to make sure training was going well, which I told him that you're ready.
Okay.
And you know, he said if you need any...
Did he say he's going to help out?
Yeah, well, that's why he was calling. He said if you need any help with sparring, he's there for you.
Okay.
Obviously, we know that we don't want to ruin your confidence by, you know, with Beat, because he is awkward and hits really hard.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want him to hurt you.
We don't want to put Beat in the situation where, you know, it kind of messes up the training camp for us. Yeah, of course.
Also, you hear a lot of names going around for Floyd. You never know at last minute if Beat's the name that they settle on, because I talked to Beat today, and I said,
beef?
You know, what's up with you?
Beef has a bit of a beef with Floyd, right?
I mean, and I told him, I said, what's up with you and Floyd? Are you going to beat his ass? And he goes, you know, I already did, so... I mean,
this is like a well-kept secret. I didn't know they even had prior beef or prior fight.
Right, he's 48-1 in beat size.
He's 48-1. So when did this happen? This happened at the Mayweather gym. Was it during one of Floyd's East Coast trips? I mean, apparently Beat is like all gung ho about this. I've seen an interview with Beat on Howard Stern, and he's all gung ho about the Mayweather situation.
Yeah,
apparently Floyd must have really offended him somewhere.
Yeah, today he said, you know, I fucking beat his ass already. I was like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, hopefully you get that rematch, bro.
But apparently, if Beat already beat him, wouldn't Floyd want the rematch? That usually how it works when the guy.
Maybe Floyd is scared.
Yeah, you know, it's true. And so
that's why he's trying to go to guys like...
He's being like Mitch Rose when he beat Butterbean.
Yeah.
He beat him, and then he's asking him for the rematch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's why he's mentioning guys like Kareem Mayfield. Who the fuck is Kareem Mayfield?
Yeah. Well, Beat should go on a rant about, you know, talking about, you know, comparing himself to the other, to the rest of the possible opposition that's been mentioned, and giving us his take on why he should be the one that gets picked over the rest of the guys.
Does he got to do the Shannon Briggs?
You put a line about there. You put the monsters, Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, and whatnot. Then you put the next wave. You got Amir Khan, Andre Berto, and Mayfield. And then you put Beat. I mean, Beat should give us his reasoning on each individual fighter and what he has, what he brings to the table that's more than those fighters, and why Floyd should fight him. And if he puts up a good enough argument, you never know, bro. I mean, Floyd might pick him. But at the end of the day, it's still entertainment. You still get value for your buck. And Beat always entertain the value.
Absolutely. I think they shatter the Pacquiao and Mayweather numbers with Beat.
I think Beat beats Pacquiao now.
Absolutely.
Honestly, bro. I mean, I don't think Pacquiao has a chance. If Beat could maybe dismantle Pacquiao more than Mayweather did, maybe he puts himself at the forefront for the fight with Floyd. You never know. That could be a possibility, too. What do you got to do? We got to get Beat on the show for a guest appearance. We got to ask him his take on all this stuff. That's what we got to do. We get Beetlejuice on the show and Welvin the Great together. Can you imagine those two in a room together?
Oh, that'd be great.
Can you imagine Beetlejuice and Welvin the Great in a room together?
That would be phenomenal.
That is wild.
Let's book them.
Put
here.
Microphones on them. They can run my show for an hour. They can run the show for an hour. Honestly, it'd be Welvin and Beat Brooklyn to the World with Paulie and Peter Cards and Seth just watching. And everybody else, I'll be almost listening to an episode. When you put those two in a room together, God only knows the conversation you'll get out of it. It's wild to even think about.
Absolutely. Today's a special day. You're a 14-year veteran today, July 7th.
Can you imagine? 14
July
years
7th,
today,
2001.
Debut.
We were in Coney Island.
Speech.
Can you imagine?
Speech.
It's wild. Dude, I feel like it was yesterday I turned pro. Like, I feel like I was thinking about it yesterday, actually. I said, wow, 14 years ago today, I was at the weigh-in for my pro debut. And I was weighing in at lightweight. What did I weigh? 136 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's wild. It's crazy. I feel like I blinked and everything just blew right by. It's crazy.
You knocked out Thaddeus Parker in 27 seconds. And then we were running around the stadium like little kids. The whole night.
It really was. We were like kids in the theme park, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like for all of you that don't understand the experience, it was just a big card. And to turn pro on a nice card like that, the main event was on HBO. It was Jesse James Lehoff versus Hector Camacho Jr. So it was a big HBO card. We were on the off TV on the card, obviously, very early. And I remember getting to the stadium early. It was still sunlight out. You know, and just taking in the atmosphere, which, you know, the stadium was still empty at the time, but we were fighting in our Keyspan Park in Coney Island, which is now called MCU Park, where the Brooklyn Cyclones play their single-A baseball. And I remember getting there and just taking it all in, just being like, wow, I'm going to be a professional fighter tonight, you know? And it's like the night when you start boxing, there's certain nights you always think in your mind you're eventually going to reach them. You know, there's like certain boxes you have to check off, you know? It's like your first amateur fight. You know, your first tournament win, your first national title, your Olympic gold medal, your world championship, and obviously not all the boxes get checked off. But, you know, you make a mental note of all those boxes you want to check off. And obviously the pro debut is a major box that you want to check off. And I remember thinking that night, like, man, I'm about to, you know, turn pro tonight, and, you know, I got to make this happen. This is where it all begins. There's no room for error anymore, you know? But it was an exciting thing. I'm repeating. We were just like kicking it all in. And then we fought early. You know, I won early in the first round. And then we were just running around that whole stadium like little kids. I mean, meeting people, taking pictures with people, meeting actors that were there, meeting old pros that were there. And we met Artie from The Sopranos, Artie Bucco.
Yeah, he was the chef in Sopranos.
I met Piper Parabo at the post-fight party.
Yeah.
The fighters were there. Camacho Jr., Leha. It
Camacho
was cool.
Camacho Sr. was there.
Who?
Camacho Sr. was there. Rest in
Camacho
peace.
Camacho Sr. was there, of course. It was pretty wild. It was just
And remember, at that time, it was like, because it had never been done, and it was, everybody loved, like, the venue and loved the way, you know, it went down, that they kind of told you, like, that this might be a regular thing for you, but it never, never worked out.
I remember they said that it was going to be, they were going to try to do this again and many times, and so, of course, of your career, Paulie, they told me, you know, you're going to end up headlining here and big fights here, and I remember thinking, wow, this is going to be so cool, and obviously it never happened again. So when Barclays Center came and rescued the scene for Brooklyn, it was kind of a very welcome thing. But the stadium fight was really cool. It was it's a moment that'll last me a lifetime. And again, it wasn't just a fight. It was just everything about that night. It was just so cool. Everything was just really cool. And it was obviously 4th of July week. You know, 4th of July had just passed.
Mm-hmm.
It was like festive. It was summer. It turned out to be a great day overall. You know, because in New York, you never know if it's going to rain or it's going to be sunny. It turned out to be a nice sunny day that day. And you know, it was a clear night skies and all that stuff. It was pretty cool. It was actually really cool. And you know, definitely a memory that I won't forget. And you know what else is funny? A little side note about that. The post-fight party, we didn't get in right away, remember? They wouldn't let us in.
You know, the bouncer tells us
we're
not on the list.
Yeah, we weren't on the list.
And then the bouncer, listen to this. That, so the bouncer's, we're like, hey, we're here for the after party. So the bouncer's like, you know, what's the name? So I'm like, Paul Malignaggi. He's like, not on the list. You got to have a bracelet or something. I said, he just fought on the show. So they're like, nah. The bouncer starts ignoring us and starts talking to the other bouncer and tells the bouncer, yeah, you know, one of those fights ended in 27 seconds, man. The kid knocked the kid out so quick. I said, dude, that was him. He won in 27 seconds. Let us in the fucking place already. Jesus Christ.
Needless to say, eventually we did make it to the after party and had a good time.
My brother, how many times did my brother say crab cakes?
Yeah.
What was that, Lenny's? Oh, man, we're going to Lenny's? Oh, they got the best.
Oh, Lundy's, not Lundy's. Lundy's.
Yeah, Lundy's. They got the best crab cakes.
That was funny, man.
Crab cakes?
Yeah.
That was a good night. It was a good night. It was a fun night. And we blink and we're here 14 years later to the day. At least we're still alive, you know.
Hey, here's to another 14 years. I'll drink today.
Salud.
Yeah, to another 14 years.
I usually don't drink, but, you know.
You're like
you? Of course not.
You're like the next Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, of course.
Fight to 60.
Not to another 14-year boxing career. Definitely not. But
that's what I was talking about. I want you to live
more fun and good times and
14 years more of success.
You know?
I want you to live more than 14 more years, Paulie.
Definitely. Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate the concern and the well wishes.
Yeah. 50-60 for you.
You too.
Thanks, Seth. Dude. You got high expectations for us.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
So that's the memories for the day, you know, and it's quite a good memory, you know. Years that have flown by just like that. And then, so another thing, let's talk about over the weekend. You know, we had some good soccer, or our friends in the UK say football.
Yep.
Copa America final. Chile got their first Copa America victory.
Wow, yeah, I know.
That was something else.
They really outplayed Argentina, man.
They played really well.
They really
Although at the end,
well.
You know, they could have Argentina could have got that goal if Lavezzi just a little bit more precise with that pass in Higuain. But a good goal nonetheless. I was watching BN Sports yesterday, and they were talking about that final. And they were talking about how, you know, the coach should have really brought in Tevez instead of Lavezzi. I mean, what's bringing in Lavezzi? And you know, the whole thing about Lavezzi, when you had Tevez on the bench and Tevez only played 58 minutes the entire tournament, I gotta agree. I mean, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but I gotta agree. I mean, Carlos Tevez had a phenomenal season with Juventus this year. He's been in great form. You know, he's obviously not a guy that you have to fear at the penalty spot in case the game does go to a shootout. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to bring him in and then I'm going to get stuck with him at the penalty spot because he's going to, you know, he's a guy that scores penalties anyway. So.
And Lavezzi ended up missing anyway.
Was he Lavezzi the one that missed? You sure? No, Higuain missed. Higuain kicked high.
They all missed except Messi, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody missed.
Yeah, that's right. It was 4-1, yeah. But anyway, at the end of the day, even besides the penalty shootout, I just think that, you know, the substitution could have been a little bit different. You know, I don't know what our Twitter followers think, but I think Tevez coming in instead of Lovetsky would have been a better substitution. Obviously, the Di Maria injury hurt him in general. I mean,
oh, big time.
The only reason Lovetsky came in was because Di Maria got hurt. But I would have brought in Tevez over Lovetsky and not replaced Di Maria with Lovetsky.
I can't argue with you there.
But, yeah, I mean, obviously with the result, it's obviously looks a lot smarter. In the moment, maybe they had a better argument in terms of bringing in Ezekiel Lovetsky for that moment. But I, like I said, in the end, I got disagree there, and I think Tevez was the way to go. And they didn't go. They didn't bring in Tevez. They didn't bring in Tevez there. They didn't bring in Tevez for the game at all. And they watched as Alexis Sanchez put in the final dagger in that shootout at the end. And
oh, man.
And that was it. And what a shot that was, Unc. You got to have balls of steel to take a penalty kick like that. That was basically like a chip shot, but not a chip. You just caressed it. The ball barely rolled over the line.
I know.
You're depending on the goalkeeper diving the wrong way. That's cheeky, as they say in the UK. Very cheeky of Alexis Sanchez and ballsy of Alexis Sanchez to take a penalty shot in that way when you know it's a deciding kick to
you
win the Copa America.
You've got to have some like sack.
Yeah, you got to have balls of steel, first of all, in that pressure moment to shoot it like that. And then you got to have ice in your veins. And obviously, Alexis Sanchez has proven himself to be a terrific, terrific footballer through the years. I saw him for many years on Serie A with Udinese, and then he moved on to Barcelona, and now the Brits get to see him with Arsenal. But a terrific player, and he's finally got an international trophy to hold dear for himself. You know, it's been a great generation for Chile, and finally, it's good to see them having won something. Because, you know, a lot of times these countries, they don't always have terrific generations of players. You know, some countries are always good, like Germany, Brazil. You know, those countries are always good, but then sometimes the other countries, Italy's usually always good, but I don't know what happened to them recently. But Italy has been always good too, for the most part. But anyway, you know, other countries go by generations, where sometimes a generation is good and sometimes a generation is weak. Even Holland is like that. You know, obviously the country's really small, but Holland, you know, they'll go from having an awesome team to not qualifying for the World Cup like they did in 82 and 86. So, you know, and even France. You know, France didn't qualify for the 90 World Cup and then the 94 World Cup, and then they came back and won the 98 World Cup. So sometimes it's a generational thing, but you don't always see these power generations actually making good on that generational bloom, the golden bloom that they have, and winning a tournament. Sometimes they do really well, but they don't win tournaments. You know, what comes to mind? Portugal comes to mind. The Portugal of the turn of the century comes to mind, where, you know, they were a great team at the 2000 European Cup. I think they got screwed around a little bit in 2002 World Cup, as did everybody else. The right. 2004 European Cup, they were back at it, and they made the finals in a tournament they hosted. They reached the finals and lost to Greece. How do you lose to Greece at the end of the day? Well, honestly, Greece had a pretty good team that year. For some reason, Greece was beating everybody. I don't know. I still don't get how Greece won that tournament.
Greece
but they did it in style. I mean, they were
a lot of tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, but they won. And then the 06 World Cup, Portugal, you know, lost in the semifinals to France, just like they had lost in the semifinals to France at the 2000 European Cup. So, again, a golden generation that was never able to win an international tournament. So, good for Chile they were able to win this international tournament, because sometimes you see these golden generations these countries bring in, and then they're not able to put it all together. They compete, they're fun to watch, and they leave you with great memories of having watched them, just like the Portuguese team of that turn of the century. You know, gave me great memories. They were such a fun team to watch, but they were never able to win. So good for Chile that they were able to win this tournament. So even if they win nothing else, Chile's been able to take home a trophy and give this generation something to look back on with fondness. Because honestly, since Copa America started, I don't think Chile ever won one. I think this is their first Copa America ever.
They hosted it six times.
In 99 years, they've never won it.
Yeah, they hosted it six times and
they
never won.
The final, I think they said they lost the final in 1985 to Uruguay. Uruguay's won it many times. One of them beating Chile in 1985. And, you know, it's good. You know, one other thing they were talking about yesterday on BeIN Sports was Chip Sampaoli, who looks exactly like my father, by the way. For any of you out there, I don't know how many of you out there have seen my father, but I mean, I barely see my father, so if you haven't seen him, you know, I don't blame you. But he looks exactly like my father.
You guys,
it's
a
wild.
Fucking spitting image of his
father. He's wild. I feel like I'm looking at my father when I walked on the sidelines. But anyway, they were talking about how he should maybe step down. Because when you win an international tournament like that, a lot of coaches like to step down because they become very in demand for club coaching, and club coaching, honestly, offers a lot more money sometimes, you know? And you've seen that happen many times. I remember Lippi did that in 2006 after winning the World Cup with Italy. I've seen that happen with other coaches as well. So you start to wonder if Sampaoli should step down, because honestly, this is probably the ceiling for him. I mean, you don't really expect Chile to win a World Cup. You expect him to compete, but really it would be a big surprise if Chile won a World Cup. So for Sampaoli, has he reached his ceiling? Should he step down? That was also something interesting that they were having a conversation about, and I was actually it made me wonder as well. So it's some things to think about.
What are you, a fucking soccer analyst now?
Come on, bro. I'm always a soccer analyst. What are we talking about here? Everybody out there knows that's actually my favorite sport. I love boxing, guys. I mean, I love boxing. I made my living from boxing, but soccer is my favorite sport. Sorry to break the news to everybody. It's actually always been my favorite sport. But I just ended up being a better boxer than I was a soccer player. What are you going to do?
That's a fucking fact.
So that's the interesting thing.
Do they have soccer on DraftKings?
Speaking of soccer, football, B-Law, NYU, NYFC.
Andrea B-Law.
NYFC. Frank Lampard's coming as well. They need a little bit of help.
David Villa scored two goals last night.
Two goals from David Villa. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, two goals.
Yeah, David Villa had two goals. We need the rest of the international cavalry to come in and.
When is B-Law going to play?
I don't know. He was at the game, though. They had him in the box in the suite. I can't wait till he gets here. I'm going over there. I'm going to go watch all the games.
Yeah, can we get some tickets to that shit?
Yeah, we got to get some tickets, seriously. I wish they played in a better stadium. Yankee Stadium is not made for soccer. Like, the Red Bulls get a great soccer stadium. They got a great football stadium. Like, what's up with that? Why does the NYFC have to play in Yankee Stadium? And who wants to drive to the Bronx? I mean, no offense against the Bronx, but it was mad far from Brooklyn.
Take the train. Take the train.
Please don't take the train. Seth, I did take the train. I went to watch Man City vs. Liverpool last summer, the friendly in Yankee Stadium. It still took me an hour on the train. An hour.
At the end of the
day. I mean, it would have took longer driving because of traffic, but it still took me an hour on the train. The only positive thing is the train. If you take the train from Bensonhurst, you only have to transfer. It's one train direct to Yankee Stadium. But still, nonetheless.
Take a helicopter.
The Red Bull Stadium in Harrison, New Jersey is closer to me. I can drive to the Red Bull Stadium and get there faster.
Yeah, can we splurge a little? Maybe you get a helicopter?
Yeah, we'll have to work on a helicopter. Be like the guy in Ballers. Every expensive thing I see that show Ballers, the guy wants to get it. Who's that character? This weekend he was on the boat and he's like, I got to get me one of these. If it costs a ton of money, he wants it.
Great show. I like that show.
Yeah, that show's good, man.
Yeah, that's something on that show.
What did he say? If it drives, floats.
Yeah, it's great. That's a great line.
Lease it.
Yeah.
Floats or fucks, he said. Yeah. Drives, flies, floats or fucks, lease it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Ain't that a fact?
So live by that credo.
And also on another sideball football note, the Women's World Cup, USA Boom. Women win the World Cup.
My ladies.
Big props to them. USA Women World Cup.
Carly Lloyd.
Yeah, Carly Lloyd. What did she have? A hat trick. Three goals. If you were like a football analyst, a football locksmith, like you tend to be, Pete.
Yeah.
In theory, what would you have taken this weekend? Does DraftKings have football, by the way, Seth? Does DraftKings have soccer?
They do.
That's big.
We need to talk about it.
P-A-U-L-I-E-M, Paulie M, go to the code Paulie M on DraftKings, you could throw in your locks of soccer, too.
You could get your MLS on.
Did you play any place with MLS on?
They have a lot more than MLS there. Come on. Huh?
They have MLS.
What?
They have MLS.
Just MLS, huh? It's not going to do it. We gotta have a lot more options than MLS.
Well, they got baseball. They play baseball too.
They play baseball too.
Anyway, big props to the women's World Cup team. They
Carly Lloyd scored Lloyd from center field.
Yeah, that's some shit you only see in women's soccer. Swarm from center field. That's pretty wild. That's a wild thing to score from center field. Anyway, on the wagering. What were your locks this weekend?
Well,
obviously hindsight being 2020 now, maybe they don't look like locks so much afterwards, but. According to the weekend,
you're going to start now?
With two championship games going on, there had to be some locks over there. What were they?
Okay.
I'm curious myself because, honestly, I didn't really get to get into it with you over the weekend as far as
let's do it right. Let's show some respect. We were at we spent the 4th of July, myself, my fiance, my nephew, Paulie, we went to our friend Giancarlo Panicchi's house, and he just had a beautiful baby girl. Ava, Angeline, him and his wife Christina Panicchi.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, congratulations to them. Beautiful house. We hung out. We watched the game, which I had Argentina. And I had the over.
Again, the over.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
That didn't go good. Okay.
What are you doing?
That went over like a fucking church, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Like a real fucking church.
Argentina and the over?
Yeah.
You're a dad. You're probably going to have more kids now. You got to start stop with the betting already. What are you doing? Grow up!
Argentina and the over? So it was actually the opposite. It ended up being Chile and the under at the end of the day.
Correct.
Because the shootout goals don't count for towards the goals.
Correct.
Oh, they don't?
No.
No, they don't.
It's just one up.
Shit, if the shootout goals counted, they'd all be over.
Yeah. Because the over and under will be two and a half.
I'm a football novice.
So then you have to rebound. You have to go with the women's final the next day, at least. I know. What were your locks there? Did you have redeeming success with the?
Of course, I took. Of course, I took my beautiful women of USA, the U.S. and A. U.S. and A. U.S. and A.
U.S. and A. Yeah.
Cinque.
Cinque.
All right.
And I had them inside.
Take the over?
I had actually no. I wanted to take the over. You know what's crazy?
You take overs on 0-0 games. How many 0-0 games did you take over this week? During this Copa America, and you don't take the over in the final for the USA that they've been scoring like animals.
Why don't you shut up?
You took the over in Uruguay, Argentina a couple weeks ago.
If I want to hear from an asshole, I'll fart.
You don't take the over in any games Uruguay's playing. That's a known fact. It's a known fact. Uruguay's always an under.
Somebody on Twitter gave me that one, so shut up.
You take the overs in all the under Copa America games, and then you don't take the over in the Women's World Cup. That they're scoring like animals in some of those games.
Animals.
You know what they say about, like, politics? If you don't vote, you don't have a right to speak?
Yeah.
You didn't bet, so you don't have a right to speak.
Oh, come on. Just because I'm not a degenerate doesn't mean I shouldn't have a right to speak. Come on.
Well, it's America, damn it.
Well, when I don't want to hear it, I come up with whatever I can.
Oh, my God.
We gotta get this
but listen,
help.
I had USA and I doubled up because I had them inside the 90 minutes and I had them,
to win the championship.
To advance to the final, to win the final.
Just when I thought you couldn't get any dumber, you pulled a stunt like that and totally redeemed yourself.
Totally redeemed myself.
All right. I'll give you that.
There's still room in the account if you still want to go to Aspen.
All right. There's room for one more on the account if I want to go to Aspen. All right.
Well, you see, you go down this road.
You get 70 miles to the hog on that gallon, I guess. I guess you get 70 miles to the hog. 70 miles to the gallon on that hog. That's not a joke.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
What are you going to do?
Hey, you know.
What are you going to do is right. So what else is going on over there?
Hey, did you really...
Is this you lonely in the studio without me? I mean,
of course.
Because I'm in, like, a midst of a very intense training camp here.
It's funny.
I got to save my legs and, like, not, like, jump up around.
Women weaken legs, Paulie. Don't forget. What? You gone? What happened?
Well, you know what else weakens legs? Being all over the place like sometimes I am.
Yeah.
All right, they should wheel you around like in a diamond-studded like, chair or something. Like a wheelchair.
See, if they wheel me around, I'll save my legs.
Yeah. You could ice it all out, you know, like you like. You like to have ice.
Mm-hmm.
Make it nice.
Yeah.
You said lonely. Like, you guys familiar with this Paisan, Sebastian Maniscalco?
Oh, he's great. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he's playing in Jersey this week. He's one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen.
He's funny, man.
Paul, you'd love him.
No, we watched him.
Selfie, I love the guy. You kidding me?
Selfie, right? Yeah. I call it.
I might not know him. And he's a fellow Paisan, like literally a fellow Paisan.
That's what I said. One of your peeps.
He's Sicilian American.
Sicilian, yeah.
Yeah,
he's just Italian. He's
I call
Sicilian.
It taking a lonely.
What about when they said, he said, oh no, oh, leave my kid. No, leave him alone. He's special. He goes, really? Really, honey? He's special? No. See that Asian kid over there that does trigonometry at 7 years old? He's special.
He is hilarious, man.
He's really
funny. He's funny. One thing I don't get, how did he leave Chicago for L.A.? There's no Italians in L.A.
Listen,
there's some of them. They're everywhere, like the Jews.
Oh, there is. I mean, there's some Italians, but it's show business.
He's got to do what he's got to do.
I've been in LA for a couple years. I'm not against LA, because I there were some really nice things about it, but like I felt like I had a place. I felt like I didn't belong. Oh. You know, you ever get that feeling like you're in the midst of a lot of people, you're amongst a lot of people, you're just like, to that. I'm just not, like, maybe I'm just not cool enough to be here, or I'm not fitting in right now. You know what I'm saying?
You were young, man. You were young. You know, you gave a little punches.
No, I didn't play that young.
No, it was just the area. I know what he means, because when he fought out there, I went out there.
It's a lonely area.
L.A.
I lived out there, too. It's lonely.
It's not really, like, lonely. It was just, like...
Different.
Everybody's fake.
Cool. Exactly. Like, I always felt like, you know what? Maybe I'm not cool enough for this place. Something about this place.
No, maybe you're too cool. Maybe you're too cool for that place.
I actually was cool. Like, I always felt like I was cool, but, like, I don't know, like... The waiter and even my waiter and my waitress, when I would go out to eat, they would talk down to me like as if they were cooler than me. Like, even the people serving me felt like they had this thing like they were better than me, and I was like, man, I'm not even cooler than my own waitress. Like, now the waiter is making me feel like I should get up and serve him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you got to clean your own table when you're done eating.
Oh, yeah, you really think you can afford the steak and lobster?
Like, it was something I didn't understand. It was like something about the vibe and over there. You know, like the only thing that was cool, like everybody really got a kick out of my accent. But other than that, I mean, it was really, which honestly only made me feel like I was further away from home, because nobody thinks my accent is cool when I'm in Brooklyn, because everybody has the same accent. But, you know,
what about,
I don't know.
Wait, what about when everybody's just came from a casting call, right?
Yeah.
And you said, like, oh, when you get out here, you know, there's some cool kids upstairs, whatever. They're like yuppie kids. They were nice kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid had the mustache with the handlebars.
Oh, yeah. So, I'll give you this story. Yeah, I got to give you this story. So,
wait.
My roommate Justin was from Queens. So, you know, at least, you know, I was in there with a fellow New Yorker when we were over there, you know? So at least I wasn't, like, totally feeling like I was totally out of place, you know? So, and Justin, honestly, he liked LA a lot more than I did. I ended up going a lot back and forth back to New York. He was in LA, like, all the time.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but regardless. So we had like a little house party one time. We were there. We were inviting everybody from the building, and the building was actually pretty cool. You know, like, it was like a young hit building with like some cool people. I remember Chris Judd was there, J-Lo's ex-husband, Andy Milonakis.
Milonakis was awesome.
He was always smoking weed with my roommate. They were smoking weed constantly together, Justin and Andy Milonakis. Then there was, who else was in that building? Oh, Mos Def was in that building for a little while.
Dude, sounds awesome. What's the problem?
Yeah, no, it was
the building
cool.
Was cool.
Like I said, it wasn't all bad. I'm not going to tell you it was all bad. Like, you know, there was some pretty cool stuff about there. You know, and honestly, I liked that building. And I liked that apartment I had there. It was really cool. So, well, I had a little party, because my roommate used to like throw like little parties, and he knew a lot of people, more of the people in the building than I did. So he'd invite everybody from the building and shit. So the doorbell rings, and I opened it, and this guy is on the other side, you know, waiting for me to let him in, and I open the door, and he's got, like, the Rowdy Fingers mustache. You know, like, the Rowdy Fingers mustache, that one from, like, 1918? You know, where, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, where it just winds around on the side?
You got a mustache like wax. You gotta wax it.
Right, and then, yeah. So I was, like, blown away, because I've only seen that mustache in pictures. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was around 2012 at that time, so... I can't say I've ever seen that in real life. And, like, it was a real one. Like, I thought it was a fake one.
It made the whole trip worthwhile.
So I opened up, and I was like, whoa. I was like, is that thing real? And he looks at me, and instead of saying, yeah, it is real, it took me this long to grow it or whatever, and he said, like a normal human being, he goes, yeah, why wouldn't it be? Dude, I wasn't planning to go in his face, but apparently he was invited by my roommate, so I had to let him in. So I let him in, and I go on the balcony. We had a balcony on the side, and I go to my roommate. I'm like, bro, Justin, who the fuck is the guy with the weird mustache I just let in? Who is that guy? He goes, oh, man, you said so-and-so. I forgot his name now. And I'm like, dude, he's a jerk-off. And I just told him what happened, and he goes, bro, you know how many acting jobs that guy gets because of that mustache? And I'm like, bro, you know how many acting jobs that guy doesn't get because of that mustache? What casting call? How many casting calls can you possibly go on that they need the Rowdy Fingers mustache? You know what I mean? How many acting jobs? Yeah, you're going to go all the ones with the Rowdy Fingers mustache.
But the best...
Like all two of them for a year.
The best was then, you know, when you were going to bed and you were like, oh, hang out, you know, upstairs with them. You know, they're cool. You'll have a good time. So I brought Alyssa up there, and I was with Justin, and we're on the balcony, and I'm smoking a cigarette. So I had just met that kid. So he's talking.
You met him too? You met the Rowdy Fingers guy too?
Huh?
You met him too?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I was going to tell the story, and then you told your story. So I'm sitting there. And I'm like, because, you know, everybody comes from fucking casting call, this or that. So I'm like, what's up, bro? So Justin's like, oh, this is Paulie's best friend. He's from New York. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm like, so one of the other guys goes, where were you coming from? He's like, a casting call. I'm like, that's a fucking surprise. That's all they do. And then he's like, yeah, gotta head out. I got another call in the morning. Like, these kids are like waiters, and all they do is have casting calls all day.
I can't knock the hustle. I mean, that's what I have a problem with. But, you know, it's like, you shouldn't feel better than me because you were able to grow out the Raleigh Fingers mustache and I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't feel better than me because of that.
I was calling him Stash.
Huh?
I was calling him Stash? Yeah. I was like, what's up, Stash?
Or as one of your coworkers says, Mustache, right?
Yeah, Mustache.
Mustache. Right?
I had this kid that worked with us. He couldn't read or spell.
What's the thing you like to say about him?
What?
What's the thing you like to say about that particular coworker of yours?
We call him Sonny because he's so bright.
No, he's still good at construction, but he's not really bright at a lot of other things.
Yeah.
He can build you a skyscraper,
but he can't spell it.
Yeah.
So he's looking at his phone one day and he goes, "What the hell is Mustache?" So I'm like, what? And he shows me the phone, and it's Mustache.
No, Mustache Muhammad. Did he fight Hagler?
Muhammad, you're horrible. Oh, come on, bro.
What? Is that, wasn't that his name?
Mustafa.
Oh, that's Mustafa Hamshaw. Leave the guy alone. Come on. He was actually a good fighter. Don't diss on Mustafa Hamshaw.
I'm just having a little fun with some words over here. That's all. Yeah. That's all.
We're in a fire, Seth. Just like you.
Hey, you know, get some crazy news on Twitter. I'm looking at Twitter. You guys know Jared, the Subway guy?
What happened to him?
House got raided for child pornography.
No! No way!
Yeah, you on the Subway?
What a creepy fuck.
Yep.
I mean, he always came off a little bit creepy, but I just thought, like,
he just took it to the next level.
He's overweight, and now, like, he's just coming into and settling into, like, you know, normal civilization. So, you know, when you're not from normal civilization, you're not used to communicating with a lot of people, and you're always going to come off a little bit weird and creepy, but I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Damn, bro.
I mean, he's not...
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know if he's found guilty or anything, but I think Subway's already scrubbing him off their website, you know?
How? How do you get rid of him?
A guy has child pornography in his house,
but
you get rid of him.
He's always affiliated. When you think of Subway, you think of the guy.
That's not a good thing for a business.
I mean, I'll endorse Subway. I mean, I got no problem. I tend to eat there. I'll freely replace Jared. And
absolutely.
Subway, if you're listening, we'll take a sponsor for the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll eat your sandwiches. We'll video ourselves eating the sandwiches.
I'll tattoo Subway on my back underneath the word immortal.
Will you?
Yeah, you know, everybody that doesn't know what my tattoo says on my back, because I've been asked a million times. Honestly, when I got it, I thought it was pretty legible. Apparently, it's not. Nobody actually knows what it says. It says immortal. It says, the word is immortal. So I'll tattoo Subway underneath the word immortal.
I'll toss the tattoo artist's salad while he gives you the tattoo.
If we make us a new Jared sponsor, really? Yeah.
I'll toss
we're willing to bend over backwards, literally. We're willing to pick up the slack. Jared.
It's a whole bigger thing. There's a Jared Foundation. It's an organization founded by him to raise awareness about childhood obesity. Oh, this is like a whole... It could be a whole nasty thing. We don't know the facts yet, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I don't wanna, maybe it's... Hopefully it's a mistake.
I don't know about that either, though.
It doesn't
look like a mistake.
You don't want to wish negative bad on anybody. You don't want to wish negativity or bad stuff on anybody.
Not even my worst enemy.
I don't want to say not on anybody. I mean, on all the Twitter haters, I wish bad shit on them.
Right.
All my Twitter haters. I wish you guys slip in the shower today. All you Twitter haters. But everybody else, you know, or like Jared or anybody else, you know, if this is a mistake, you know.
Yeah, hopefully.
It gets fixed. I don't know.
There's only one child molester that was allowed, and that's Michael Jackson.
Come on, bro. A lot of that wasn't proven. I'm not going to tell you whether it's true or not. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say they defended him, but come on. Don't say the guy's name of me. He's dead. The guy passed away. Don't say the guy's name of me.
I'm saying that's the only guy that was allowed to get away with it.
Okay, well, we don't know if he got away with it. I mean, obviously, the it seems like he got away with it, but I don't want to get into it. I don't want to think of Michael Jackson like that because he passed away, and I don't want to...
Now,
You don't sleep with children.
I loved Michael Jackson as a kid.
It's Jesus juice.
I mean, maybe it's bad I didn't get to meet him, but shit. I love this new criminal video and all that. You know, when I was a kid.
What's wrong with sleeping with children in your bed?
Oh.
Jesus juice. Give him a little Jesus juice.
I don't find this funny, just so you guys know.
You know what? When he was done, he'd say, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Yeah, you guys are on your own on this one.
And you hear about Bill Cosby, too? He admitted that he...
Okay, Bill Cosby's a different story. That's fucked up. He's actually admitting it.
Yeah, he admitted. He obtained Quaaludes and indeed tried to give them to young women.
He was like the family guy.
I would take the Quaaludes and put it in the pudding. And then they would eat the jello pudding.
Think about the families when you were a kid, like the happy families. The Huxtables from the Cosby Show, the Tanners from Full House, the Winslows from Family Matters. I was gonna say the Jeffersons, but the Jeffersons were pretty dysfunctional. So
yeah, but they were happy.
And even the Schultz. You know, Mr. the Drummonds and Willis and Arnold from
Racial Harmony.
And even they didn't end up good.
But none of them. The girl died, right? Arnold's dead.
I'll talk to you about Rufus. That was the first show. As good a show as that was, who remembers different strokes out there? Different strokes was the shit. Are you kidding me?
What you talking about, Willis?
One of the early shows I ever watched when I was in this country. Actually, part of the reason I learned to speak English was watching different strokes when I would get home from school.
So you learned how to say...
Every day. I still remember. 5 o'clock, different strokes. 5:30, Facts of Life.
Facts of Life are all about...
I would never watch the Facts of Life. I would watch cartoons, and then after cartoons were over, different shows would come on at 5, and then after 5, it would be the Facts of Life at 5:30, but I would be done by then.
Paulie, didn't you date Tootie? Is that true?
Who?
Tootie.
Tootie? No. I mean, I can't even think offhand which one was which in the Facts of Life. I never actually watched the show. The only thing I did was see the beginning song, because that beginning song used to get stuck in your head.
What time were you knitting sweaters? Fuck out of here.
I didn't have your life. I had an early bedtime when I was 7 years old. Yeah. I wasn't sitting there at 3 a.m. watching Rambo.
What, you're 7? You're still a virgin? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Me and Pete's childhood at that age were a lot different, wasn't it?
Hey, you also saw that Mayweather relinquished his WBO welterweight belt.
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. I don't think he got along with much with the way the WBO does business, and so I think he decided to do away with it.
And I mean, honestly, they want him to pay sanctioning fees or fight mandatories. It's asinine. He doesn't need a belt. He's fucking Mayweather.
I mean, yeah, I think he's almost retiring anyway, so in the end, all those belts are going to become vacant anyway. So, speaking of which, champ,
why don't we break down a little bit of what we know about this whole feud with this lawsuit, so to speak, between
with the PBC against Al Heyman. I just think it's, you know, I have a lot of problems with it, obviously, but the biggest problem I have with it is that they're masquerading as they were protecting the fighters. Because the Ali Act, we need to protect the fighters, and this is not honoring the Ali Act, according to them. And because we have to protect the fighters, you know, we have to sue. Like, dude, none of the fighters are being taken advantage of. What are you talking about? I've never seen so many fighters happier. I've never seen so many fighters this happy under one stable in my whole life. Like, what's the odds? What's the chances? You know what I mean? That a guy can have a stable of this many fighters, and everybody's happy. Like, so you can't even sit here telling me you have to try to get rid of Al Heyman and get rid of PBC because it's to protect the fighters, because the fighters aren't being taken advantage of. We're making more money than at any point.
Right. So, Top Rank sounds
so
like...
My problem is they're suing because it's hurting their business.
Right.
Because they don't get to do as good of a job as Al Heyman does, as PBC is doing. They're mad that they don't want to have to pay out money because PBC is doing time by themselves right now, investing this money and hoping that with the high ratings, eventually these same networks will buy back the time later on, and you'll still get free TV, but you'll get it on the CBS dime, on the NBC dime, on the Spike dime, on the ESPN dime. You know, once this actually works in the coming years, and that's the hope. You know, so you'll still get free TV, free boxing on TV later on. It'll just be, you know, that Al won't have to pay for it after if this investment works out. So why the hate? The guy's actually making a huge investment to try to continue boxing on free TV even later on. All the haters are like, oh, it's going to be on pay-per-view. Why would it be on pay-per-view? Jerk offs! How many stupid people are out there in this world? The mega super fights are always going to be on pay-per-view. But if you get a handful of those a year, okay. The rest of them, they'll still be on these networks. It'll just be the networks picking up the slack and buying them because now they want to continue those high ratings. So the goal here is to get high ratings so the networks keep buying the time. What are you talking about? What's the negative thing about this? The only thing that's hurting is the competition because they can't do what he's doing. They don't have the balls to do what he's doing. They don't have the money to do what he's doing. And if they have it, they don't want to risk that money to do what he's doing. So what's the problem? What's the problem, man? What's the problem?
And listen, honestly, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. It was fine when he was working with Golden Boy. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're like the bitter girlfriend when he moved on to another girlfriend, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, from that perspective, you know, he was using the Golden, working a lot with Golden Boy in the past, and now it's just weird that, you know, they ended up suing him for probably what they're saying are things that they are suspected of having done with him when they allegedly were working together. So, I mean, I don't know. But the whole thing in the end, it boils down to the fact that this is not to protect the fighters. No promoters, or most of the promoters in the past in my career that I've seen, have no interest in protecting the fighters. They have interest in protecting themselves first.
Exactly.
And I think because of Al Heyman, a lot of promoters have started to put fighters first. I mean, you see a lot of promotional entities are starting to really, really treat fighters really good, and I think it's because of the fact that Al Heyman has treated his fighters so good, and they're seeing that what happens when you treat your fighters so good, and they're starting to try to treat their fighters good. I mean, you see the contracts Rock Nation is giving out. Eddie Hearn has been great to his fighters. You know, all these fighters are really happy with the contracts they're under, but not all fighters have always been happy with the contracts they've had, with the way they've been treated. So indirectly, even the competition is forced to treat fighters better. You're still going to get free TV, guys. Stop crying. Smarten up. Smarten up. It's not a problem. Smarten up. And then people on Twitter, you're dissing the fans. If you're a jerk off, I'm going to diss you because get a brain. Get a brain. What about this one? I don't know a Twitter jerk off. What was he saying? I forget what they were. Yesterday there was like a whole debate on my Twitter that wasn't even including me. They just started debating on Twitter about and including my hashtag. And so I just kept getting it. It just kept throwing on my timeline. I was getting annoyed. It was basically about the fact that I made a quote that said you can't put money as your main motivator to keep boxing. Because if money is your main motivator to keep boxing, eventually you're going to fall short. And you're going to find a reason to quit when the going gets hard. The passion has to be your main motivator. The drive to be great has to be your main motivator. The money has to be, you know, it's not first. Obviously, money's always there. You can't fight for free. So I get guys complaining to me, why do I fight Danny Garcia instead of Vivian Harris if the money is not the motivator? Oh,
come on.
What are we kidding each other? I'm still fighting whether I'm fighting Vivian or whether I'm fighting Danny. So that part of it is already taken care of. The passion of fighting is already taken care of. Now we're going to get to number two and three. Number two and three is, yeah, there's money involved there. Option number three, you know, the motivation that's down the line, maybe it's not the number one motivation, but eventually that's part of the motivation too. Jerk off. Of course.
Boy, how do you even acknowledge that?
That's money.
That's the dumbest question.
Fighting a big fight is the main thing. The passion of a big fight, major fights, obviously drives you the most. So you're going to try to take on the biggest names. That's what makes me tick. That's what makes me go, is taking on the biggest names in boxing, taking on the best. And right now, Danny Garcia is among the best in the sport. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Danny Garcia. And yes, the main reason is because he's among the best. Another reason is, yeah, it's the money. I didn't say the money doesn't have to be part of the motivation. I just said it can't be your main motivation. Jerk off. Get a brain. Smart up. How many idiots are out there? Twitter should have an intelligence test before you get on Twitter. Before you get on Twitter, you should have to pass an intelligence test.
Nobody would be on it.
Before you get on Twitter, that's it.
No, honestly, I mean, people are so fucking stupid. I mean, Jesus Christ.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard that you just said. I can't believe you have to acknowledge that. Like,
I deal with this every day. I mean, my PL is so filled, like, I don't even get to read all the tweets sometimes, but it's wild the shit that you read.
They take up some of the time, and because you miss so many tweets from people that are trying to, you know, big you up, so to speak, or actually have somewhat of a brain. It gets taken up by these ignorant people that don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Nah,
it's a shame.
That's just silly.
It's bananas.
You got a big challenge, man. Undefeated fighter. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, of course.
Great opportunity. Can't wait to watch you win.
I got to go start getting ready for the gym soon. How long are we?
We're good.
It's been real. It's been real, guys. It's been real this week's episode. Even though you guys took my intro from me, I introduced the show. You hear me, jack offs?
Whoa. Why am I included with that? I didn't say anything.
You're in the studio. You're supposed to control this.
You're a little out of order yourself, Paulie.
You got a little out of line yourself.
All right, fine. I was a little out of line. I mean, I shouldn't be yelling at everybody. I'm sorry, guys.
Especially me. I work at CBS. Can't yell at me. I'm the man.
All right, guys. You know what? I'm a little bit overheated today. You know, it's panic camp. I'm making weight. I got workouts I got to take care of. I'm tired. I got a workout I got to go to right now. Yeah, it's the way things go. All right.
I'm going to meet you at the gym.
Yeah, take it to the zoo.
I'm going to head out to the gym soon. And I'll see you at the gym, Pete. Seth.
Yo.
In real. Next week, I will try to actually make my presence felt inside that studio.
I believe it when I see it.
Atta girl.
If I can pull it off.
You can do it. Take the train. Take the train.
Close down the show yourself. Since you guys introduced it, now you can close down the show yourselves. I'm hanging up right now.
Later. We still got to talk a little bit more about DraftKings, man.
Yeah.
DraftKings baseball season. Yeah, you know, Teixeira is kicking ass.
Teixeira, yeah, it's about
that. A-Rod's got some good numbers. Pitching on the Yankees, I don't know. You guys, Cardinals are killing it, so you just take a bunch of Cardinals. You know, take that kid on the Mets. He's pitched another six innings shutout. Mets.
He's a beast.
Yeah, you need eight players, two pitchers, and you make it happen. You make money. Use Paulie M as a code, PAULIEM. And you can make some money.
It's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, if you know baseball, if you follow baseball and you take a look at what's going on, you know, it's so funny. DraftKings is so big now, you can just Google, help me with DraftKings, and you'll see, like, some supposed experts will, like, give you lineups
really?
And stuff. Sure. You know, people,
that's awesome.
Remember, you know you pay for picks? Did you ever pay for picks?
No.
Ever?
No.
Even when you were younger?
And hell no.
All right, I'm just checking.
I'm a fucking locksmith. I'm going to pay for picks.
You know, when I say pay for picks, it means they got these experts out there. They have hotlines, right? You give them money and they'll give you supposed winners. But you think it's kind of funny because if they had the winners, why are they giving them to you? They just bet on themselves. So there's really no such thing as, you know, locks like that. But guys, those guys now that you can call, you see ads for them, they'll give you DraftKings lineups. You could
that's
pay
awesome.
Them. You know, if they give you a good one, who knows? If you do, you know, if that's just lazy, though. If you do your homework and really get into a sport.
It makes it more fun. Do your
right.
homework.
It's kind of, it is fun.
Sit there, check out the matchups, look at who's going against who, look at the pitchers' ERAs, look at, you know.
Hey, so for me, I was producing fantasy football radio last year, so I was every day. I was producing a fantasy football radio show every day, so
that's
I started
awesome.
Playing DraftKings. I did okay. I didn't win the top five,
right.
But I won some money.
That's because cool.
I kind of had an education of what I was talking
when
about.
When you're involved like that,
yeah.
you see the top names.
Baseball now, it's like, you know, I got three kids, man. I don't have time. I don't have time to jump into baseball.
What
I play a little
like?
Bit. I dabble.
What is it now? Like 10 more weeks until football?
Soon, right?
Yeah. So,
remember when you're a kid in summer, it's like 2 months, feel like forever.
Yeah.
Now it's like a blink and it's over, and all of a sudden, you got to take the air conditioners out of the window. Because I don't have central air.
Me either.
Ugh.
Join the fucking club. What are you thinking? I'm rich?
It keeps you in shape, though, right? Picking up those air conditioners.
Yeah.
Heavy.
No, I leave them.
Yeah. Do you?
Hell yeah.
No, I get
I'm
too
lazy.
Much, too much air comes in our house. Can't do it.
My girl's like, oh, you know, we get a draft in the winter. Let me turn the fucking heat up. It's not my problem.
About 90.
Yeah.
But yeah, DraftKings is, you know, even though I'm not super into baseball like I used to be, I've seen all the players. Now, you take a look and you grab a few guys and you take a shot.
You know your stars.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton.
You can also tell by the prices. You see the most
right,
expensive
exactly.
players, and then you got your you got
obviously
the internet.
You can't fill up with
up.
All the big stars.
See, the geeks are the ones that do really well though, because they're like against left-handed pitching and outdoors at daytime. He bats .395, so obviously he's a steal for $2,500 this
right,
week.
Exactly.
So according to my calculations,
exactly,
I'm due for 117.17 points.
He's projected to
yes.
get me
exactly
certain amount
of my DraftKings metrics.
I don't have. I need a gambling metrics.
You know, you need somebody to balance you out. Like you're like, you know, we need a yeah. We gotta bring some geeky sports metrics analytics crunch number cruncher in here. Like in the movie Moneyball, right? You got the kid who was fat and then he was thin again.
I need
he's fat
that guy
again.
For my calories too.
What's that actor? Who's that kid? Jordan
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. Yeah, remember he's big Jonah. Then he's little Jonah. He's big Jonah again.
I want to be little Pete.
Yeah. Well, you used to be little Pete.
I know.
Now you're Big Petey.
Yeah.
You're big, Little Petey, Medium Petey, Big Petey, Re Petey.
I'll take...
Pediatrician.
I'll take Medium Petey.
Remember that comedian? What was that guy's name? Don Myra. Herrera. He did a whole thing about Petey's.
Pete and Repeat.
You remember that guy?
fucking guy. Yeah, he was funny.
The thing is, you know, I hate people like, you know, nasty habits, smoking. They say, how's your day? Blowing your face. You know, I have a nasty habit too. It's spitting. If I had a rough one,
spitting right in your face.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I have a nasty habit, farting.
Yeah, I know. When I listened to the show back from last time, and Paulie's with the crew in here, and Paulie's trying to
breathe.
He's like, get out of here.
You can't go anywhere, dude. We're doing a show.
Yeah, he's trying.
Where's your work ethic? Where's your sacrifice?
You're a sick bastard. All right, yeah, so I think we touched on DraftKings, Paulie M. It's awesome. It's daily, so you can play every freaking day. It's great. Football. Imagine if football was daily. People would be broken. You know, families would be done. Like, you know, because you never would pay attention to your kids or nothing. So you're watching football all the time. Because on Sunday, I got my computer, my phone, and everything. Yeah, I got TV on. I'm like, yeah, I can't help you right now.
I don't do anything.
I'm playing all these leagues and stuff.
On Sunday. Yeah. I order wings and I drink beer and I just fucking watch football all day.
That's what America's all about. It's for you international listeners. That's why you hate us, because we're
60-inch TV.
We're horrible
computer.
People. Yeah, we watch football and eat wings, and we're just disgusting human beings.
Even when I was living with my mother, I would like wake up just in time, like barely in time for the 1 o'clock game, and I would like,
because you got in at 5.
Yeah, I got in. You know, I'm hammered 6. From the night before. I'm in my underwear. I'm running into the kitchen to just make myself a plate of whatever my mother made, pasta with sauce, and I'll just grab like a 2-liter of Pepsi and just bring the whole bottle in.
That's disgusting.
And literally my whole Sunday I would just run in and out, and my mother, she would hear like these bursts. What? And she's like,
you're betting games at that time?
Yeah, I'm watching NFL.com and I'm watching the, you know, Red Zone and watching the game, and the Giants are killing me whether I bet them or not. I'm screaming at the TV, you know. And she's like, what the fuck? I'm like, Ma, please. It's Sunday.
Ma, the meatloaf.
Yeah, don't you have church to go to? Don't you have to do your hair or something? Leave me the fuck alone.
I can't wait to do this when we have football season. We're going to have fun.
Oh, man.
I think we could. You got anything else? I think we could wrap it up, man. We went a long ways today.
Yeah, we had a good one.
I got stuff to do.
I got stuff to do too.
Yeah, go do your stuff.
I pee really bad, and then I got to meet this midget at the gym.
Oh, Beetlejuice?
No, the other midget, Paulie. We actually have a fight we're getting ready for.
Who's fighting?
Oh, actually, this Saturday.
Oh, well, the fight's coming up. What we got?
Louis Collazo and Keith Thurman.
Collazo was like, when he fought Khan, he walked through punches. Like, he started walking with his hands down like a zombie.
He's my boy, man.
He's crazy, right?
He's just a mentally really strong dude. You know, a lot of people
I think Thurman hits a little harder, though, than
Khan. Oh, of
Khan.
Course, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't want to be putting your hands down against Thurman.
No, definitely
his
not.
His name is One Time.
One Time. And, you know, a lot of things people don't know about Louis Collazo. He's like a guy, he's like very deep. He's very religious. He's done yoga for like years,
and that's like, you do it with him, right?
Yeah, I do. You know they do the hot yoga. I do the hot yoga with sangria. But no, he really does yoga.
I believe it.
And he's like just mentally very strong. So
have you ever tried it?
No,
it's pretty good, man.
Sure. If I was in decent shape, I would. I can't even get myself to a driving range.
To kill yourself?
To play, to shoot myself. To hit myself with a golf club.
I thought you meant the driving. I thought you said the shooting range.
No, driving range. Oh, man. But, yeah, that's a good fight. Hank Lundy is fighting this weekend also.
Who's Hank Lundy?
Hank Lundy is a good fighter. I believe he's from Philly also. He's fighting Herrera, who everybody thought beat Danny Garcia in Puerto Rico. That was the one that Garcia kind of robbed Herrera on that one.
That was a couple fights ago for Garcia?
Yes.
So Garcia's kind of shown some chinks in the armor in the last few fights.
Well, that's why they say styles make fights. Yeah. So, you know, Paulie to me is a much better fighter than Herrera, boxer-wise, and if Herrera gave him that much trouble, you know.
That's why I'm so glad that Garcia's not fighting Mayweather, because I think that would have been a horrible, horrible mismatch.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. But they were talking about that for a while. That was a hot topic for a minute.
Yeah, no, yeah. Because he's undefeated. You know, at that point it sells.
I don't think I even watched it for free. That's how bad I think that fight would have been. It would have made the Pacquiao Mayweather fight look like a classic. Really, it would have been bad.
Tell us how you really feel.
It would have been like me fighting my 2-year-old son. Like, what?
Hey, you know
Pass.
What? I've seen worse.
No offense to Garcia. Garcia's yeah. obviously a good fighter. He's uh-huh. undefeated. He's got a lot of heart. He wins. So no offense to him, but I just don't
Styles
think
Styles make fights.
Yeah, him fighting Mayweather would have been terrible.
But yeah, this weekend should be good for boxing. I missed the last like 2 weeks without fights or whatever it was.
Well, it'll be
a week. Yeah,
it'll be 2 weeks. You guys saw the hot dog contest. That's some good competition.
Yeah, that's.
I guess you guys didn't have to talk about much. I guess there wasn't much fun going on out there. You didn't have a lot of fun.
Oh my god, dude!
Hot.
I mean, even me, I'm a freaking alcoholic. But Jesus,
you weren't drunk.
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
People were like hot dogs and beer.
That's gross.
I'm like, whoa.
You're like bacon and eggs. And
I'm like
cup of coffee.
Anybody an omelet? Anybody?
Yeah.
Does anybody have water?
Yeah, a piece of rye toast or
yeah,
something.
Do you guys serve water? But no, it was fun. It was cool to be out there. The people really
I watched
come
Paul,
out for it.
I watched clips of him talking there.
Yeah.
You guys were right in the front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, people really show up for it. It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a real big deal.
Coney Island's kind of a popular place.
Chestnuts over there was...
Roasting.
Roasting. He got roasted. He was like,
he
what,
showed up.
Eight-time champion?
He showed up. I mean, you know.
It was cool.
Pretty consistent. That guy just, you know, got him. Any given Independence Day.
And that is competition. You always got to be on your toes.
Yeah. Dipping.
Oh,
gross.
He was really good at shoving wieners down his throat.
On that note.
On that note, I got to go
Pause.
Sit in traffic.
Enjoy. Go play in traffic.
Yeah.
Petey.
All right. Next week, we'll be back. And the champ will
be
with us.
Oh, and you farted.
Yes.
Yeah, you farted, you scumbag.
That?
Yeah, I got
I
it.
I want to leave you
scumbag.
With
scumbag.
Come on. I got to leave you with a gift.
No, gift. Leave. That's a gift. Leave.
All right, guys. Next week.
Peace. Give me a gas mask.